Hello and welcome to the Two Fat Brokers. Today's topic is, are we still early? Why the UAE real estate market isn't nearly done yet? I'm Ben from Abu Dhabi.
I'm Barney from Dubai.
We've also got
Mark from the network.
And Gary from Strada.
Great. Barney, are we done yet? Is this market cooked? I think Dubai is done, but Abu Dhabi's still going,
right? We've been
done
months ago.
Yeah.
Months and months
Stick
ago.
Stick a fork in it.
I would say, and in the interest of being controversial, if you're holding a luxury penthouse off plan that you plan on flipping, you are cooked. You are done.
What is the penthouse thing? Why are people buying penthouses?
Why is everything a penthouse and it's not on the top floor?
But like, it's just an ego thing, is it not? Have you ever tried to sell? Obviously, you've tried to sell a penthouse, but like,
I've sold a few penthouses.
They're rocking all shit there, mate, to get them sold. You can't sell them, can you? No one wants them. You're going to get a penthouse, you're going to get a big villa.
I mean, there's an argument, right? With apartments, if you want to sell it, you've got to have paid 40%. But this is a conversation we had last week when Ben wasn't here.
Is that the law or is that developer by developer?
Developer law. Developer contract, SPA contract.
You've got to have spent all 40%. The developers are the same.
Pretty much
30-50% in it.
Some are more, some are less. Yeah. But there's always a new shiny project. Yeah. So you're like, oh, I want to buy an apartment. Okay, well, I've only got four to choose from. And okay, I've got to pay 40-50% up front, but I want one. Now it's like, if I wait another 3 weeks, there'll be another launch and I'll just buy one of them with 10% down. Yeah. Right. So there's that. But there's also, there are so many 6,000, 7,000, 10,000 square foot apartments. How are you ever going to fill them? So for me, my money is on houses. Stay away from, especially if someone's told you buy this, flip it for 30% in 6 months, which I know a lot of agents have done. But I think long term, as long as our population retains or continues on its current trajectory, we'll be fine. If not, there will be issues, I foresee.
But you're saying problems. That one particular segment is overdone?
I would say yes. Penhouse. That one particular segment that I've looked at more specifically, yeah, you've got apartments coming on like the Sixth Senses, where that's handing over in 4 months, 3 months, and people are trying to sell desperately, and no one's buying.
The Sixth Senses,
Yeah. I see dead people.
That one.
That's maybe why no one's buying it.
Maybe
these two don't get that joke at all, do you?
Yeah.
Well,
tell your face it was funny, Mark.
sorry, I got the joke. I just didn't. Didn't agree with how funny it was.
Mark, is there any sector you think was done or overblown?
Well, no, I do agree with Barney. No, we did speak about this a little bit off camera as well. I think there's a lot of people that have sold people with no real investment strategy, right? So it's put your money in, flip it, it's speculative, there's no backup plan if they can't deliver if the agent can't deliver the sale. And quite often the person that sold the off plan in many respects don't have a secondary division, therefore can't service the next move, right? So it's like, sorry, I'm not.
That's a more individual bad mistake rather than a market like issue.
Yeah, agreed. Right. So if I was to look at that, there's a lot of conversation around oversupply. And if you break it down into segments, I think, you know, it's not something that we do a huge amount of in the sort of
breaking it down into segments.
The penthouse market.
Okay.
Certainly not the, you know, it's not something that we particularly deal with. From what Gary said, it's just one of those. It's so unique. I like to work in market segments where we can generate across a sort of cross-section of the market in a price point, in a property type, and generate lots of, on paper, very similar avatars of clients. That's predictable business and quite easy. When you're dealing with unique, extravagant penthouses, it's really difficult to pull that buyer in. And if they want something, you're taking them to three or four different totally unique projects, buildings, and it's complex, right? Which is more the market.
And they don't buy it anyway in the end. They just go and buy a villa.
Yeah.
It's honestly, like, these penthouses, 50% of the square foot is a terrace.
Yeah.
It's in a building that they don't like. The lift takes ages. There's how many? 1,000 skyscrapers in Dubai? Like, there's so much availability.
But we're specifically focusing on one segment now. What is your big plan? I mean, you know, do you think this market is going to keep going up? Do you think we're going to plateau?
I think the success of Dubai is the downfall of the rest of the countries. Do you know what I mean? We're obviously from the UK, so it's easy to speak about the UK. But they have filled the UK with a certain type of person, which means that, like, low quality third world people, right? And now they're bringing in an exit tax of 20%. So not only is the country really poorly run with the healthcare and what is going on in terms of the politics and the people in power, they're then saying, we've messed up here a little bit. You want to leave? Oh, it's 20%. Do you know what I mean? What is that?
There's
all
an
about?
Exit tax.
Yeah, exit tax is coming in. There's going to be a massive.
Rachel Reeves, so this is.
So you had the non.
Maybe this isn't.
No, this is happening. This will happen.
Are you hanging your hat on that, Gary?
There was a. If you look at the news this morning, can you read the news? Can you read?
No. I watch it on my phone.
If you read the news
after
I've watched
your
they indicate very strongly that this is coming in. It's been public over the last few days. So not only have you got the non-domicile tax, which has obviously been the first mass exodus, you've got this 20%. You're going to have people running for the hills.
It's locking the stable door after the horse has bolted, though, isn't it? Most people have left England. And now they're saying, well, you've got to pay 20%. Sorry, most people that can have left.
Yeah.
And this goes back to my argument about the population. Will it continue to grow at the rate that it has? You've had a mass exodus from the UK, specifically the UK, over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a finite amount of people that want to leave who can.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of Europeans come. You've actually even seen some Americans come.
Yeah.
But the population can't keep growing at the same speed because there's a finite amount of people that can and want to come here.
Yeah, we're talking about 4 million people in a world of 8 billion. I mean, I think it's still a relatively, small number. I get the point. But I think
there's still same things
8 billion and 6 billion of them probably could never afford to come here anyway.
Well, if you're looking at, if you're saying there's 10 million people in the UAE, if you want to grow 10% year on year, it's only 1 million people, right? There's 350 million in Europe. That's 0.3% of the population
a year.
In Europe.
Only. Like, that's really easy. That's not easy. To grow a population by 10% a year
is talking about immigration.
Bonkers.
Okay, so what could they do? The two things I think they could do to stimulate the market is the loan-to-value ratio. Loan-to-value ratio, it's actually quite expensive to buy a property, isn't it?
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Fair.
It's not, like the UK. To pay 20 or 30% on a mortgage, it is expensive. And I think citizenship as well. I don't think they need to do it right now, but they really could do that. They can reduce the 4% tax. There's so many different things that they can do to stimulate the real estate market that they have in their pocket ready to just press the button or turn it up whenever they need to. They do need to attract more people here. I don't think whether you're a cleaner in a school because my mum is, but whether you're a cleaner in a school or whether you're real estate or if you're a multi-millionaire, super wealthy, you can leave the UK and you can come here. There is jobs for everybody, but they do need to grow and it's going to take time. It's not happening overnight.
We've still got, and on that as well, Gary, we've still got a very, very basic mortgage system here. Second properties, to build an investment portfolio is very, very difficult if you want to do it leveraged through finance, right? It's really complex to do here.
Well, that's the Sharia side of things, isn't it?
No. Just the banks are a bit unsophisticated when it comes to releasing equity.
But it didn't used to be.
Financing
units. In 2008, it was very easy to get a mortgage.
It was the other end of the scale there, where there was no central bank policy. The banks didn't know if other banks were lending. It was all semi-self-certified.
It was like 5-10%.
Interest-only mortgages.
But it was still pretty basic.
It was done offline.
Now it's been tightened, but the banks still there's types of lending that they're not very comfortable with.
Yeah, in the UK, it makes sense to buy. So I've got a property portfolio in the UK that is solely owned in a limited company, and all of those properties have finance against them. They have finance against them because the valuation is done based on how much money, the valuation is done on the property, how much it'll rent for, and there's a relatively basic calculation of how much rent coverage there needs to be against how much I'm borrowing, and does it cover that? It's 125% roughly of your monthly outgoings need to be covered by the rent that comes in. You can't do that. So I bought 7 properties in the space of a few months in the UK, all with leverage. You can't do that here. So the market is very well protected from cash buyers. The amount of cash buyers here and the amount of money that people have put in. If you look now from 2020, anyone who's bought 2 years ago and between 2020 and 2023, there's very few people that haven't got a minimum of 50% equity in the properties, right? Considerably more in most cases. So it's so well protected, but they're not allowing people to move that efficiently yet.
Yeah.
Whereas the UK is the exact opposite. You can release the equity and then move it out of the country.
Yeah.
Here, they're sensibly regenerating it, but I just think they need to get... I think the 5 million cap to go up to 70% loans, it's way too low. You're struggling to buy a family home now for below 5 million. So you're basically saying that, that jump going up from a 1 million dirham deposit up to 1.5, it's too aggressive. That needs to move up. I mean, what you could buy 3, 4, 5 years ago, that now needs to be probably 8 million, right?
Yeah, and I think we have attracted a lot of people from the Western world. Who do you really know who lives in an apartment, who's in a relationship, small family, or got a family? I don't know anybody who lives in an apartment where I'm from, certainly not. So they're all going for the villas and townhouses.
But this goes back to my comment on the previous one. The average age of a Dubai resident is 34 years old.
Is it, yeah?
And that is prime getting in a relationship, getting married, having kids.
Yeah.
And that means houses, right? To exactly your point, is people who have kids and a dog and a mortgage, they don't often live in an apartment.
Do you know, if you've got a plot of land, you know, this big, and a developer's looking at it, they own it, they're not looking to build villas and townhouses on it, are they? They're looking to go as high into the clouds as possible and get them sold.
Well, it's the designation for your plot, though, isn't it? It all comes down to what your plot's been allocated to. Yeah. So there's less interest now in high-rise apartment plots. We get a lot of inquiries about
plots. But they're still selling them like that.
If low-rise. Low-rise. G+6, G+7, G+8, they're flying. But if you want, there's a lot of plots available in Business Bay, which has unlimited GFA. As in, if you have a contractor and an architect clever enough, you could build a Burj Khalifa on a 15,000 square foot plot.
Be unlimited.
Unlimited. What about says on it, unlimited.
Your power load, your sewage, your parking.
The argument is there's only so much you can build on a square foot.
What's
of 15,000
square foot.
In what respect?
Well, as you say, the sewage and the facilities and stuff. If someone does want to stick one into the clouds, who's to say that that's not going to work?
Yeah, traffic.
Well, it isn't going to work on a construction basis, right? It's going to cost you X amount more to go above this floor and this floor and this floor. And how much are you going to be able to sell them for from a commercial perspective?
Yeah.
You're never going to build it, but they say it's unlimited.
But the point you're making is, so there's a lot of apartments being built. And not that many villas, because it's more profitable to stick apartments on a plot of land than it is villas.
Yep.
Right. So are you seeing that? And there's a lot of talk about Dubai being oversupplied. Do you think there maybe going to be oversupply on the apartment side and not on the villas? Might get a two-speed kind of real estate system.
I mean, intrinsically, they're kind of linked together, because perhaps some people who, you know, as the cost of renting a villa goes up, realize they have to move into an apartment. Yeah. It's a very rare occurrence where you'll have a complete separation between the two markets.
Well, if you have a huge amount of supply in apartments.
You'll have people that leave a villas because the value, the cost of renting a villa becomes too high.
Yeah.
So they have to look at an apartment. So there will be that churn. But I think if I'm an investor, I'm going to feel a lot safer in my house than I am going to feel in an apartment.
Today, but you did also say that a lot of people will be moving out of villas and townhouses and going into the apartment. So
yeah, but they'll be able to afford an apartment right in the middle of downtown or the marina. If I've got an apartment in JVC or JVT, I'm going to be shit in the bed, to be honest. Mm. You know, I'm going to be struggling to. Case in point, one of my friends who has invested, he has a couple of studios in JVC. He's reduced his rent from last year by 25%. Just to rent out a studio, it was 75,000 dirhams a year, it's now 50.
I do think there's a lot to be said. I mean, you'll probably know the case better. I think that the quality that's come into the market now, I think we might have been talking about this last week, the disparity now between, let's take the Springs, right, 15, 20 years old, landlords in COVID got away with being able to rent out a standard Springs and people went, well, there's nowhere else to live, I'll pay it and move in.
Yeah.
Now people, the difference between renovated, not to a crazy standard, but there is a minimum expectation of somebody spending £50,000 a year on rent that they want, and they'll go to Al Fajan. So if you're stuck, I think there's a market in JVC and Dubai Marina, not in downtown as much because it was a master plan fully developed pretty much by Emaar. These communities that have had multiple developers and different tiers of standards, they're being affected more. So I guess, I don't know, you know, something that's, let's say, Ellington quality is potentially going to be less affected than something that is looking a bit old and tired. And I think, you know, there's quite old buildings in JVC now as well, and Dubai Marina.
Super old buildings in the marina.
It is
super
wild, right? You know, Emaar sold the plots, but they sold them in, you know, the early era, and a lot was developed sort of, you know, post 2008, when it was like, let's go.
Get it up. Ceramic floors, you know.
So could there be a crash in Dubai? Do you see any?
I think it would be from an external force rather than an internal force.
Yeah, I'd agree.
It would be
you're saying it's quite hard to increase the population. If the population stops now and doesn't increase anymore,
there'll be an issue.
And you've got the supply coming on.
Yeah. That'd be an issue.
What's this external force going to be? We've been through COVID.
Black Swan events, man.
We've had wars kicking off all over the place. Like, what's...
Yeah, I don't know.
Global
AI, AI war. I don't know, man. Some Black Swan event.
I just
event.
Think this place flourishes in any time of hardship anywhere around the world.
We didn't in 2007.
Well, yeah, different
time. 2015, we had our own real estate, you know, recession that went on for 5 years. Prices just kept going down and down and down.
That was horrific. I hated that.
It was also, to a degree, stimulated by the government taking de-risking another bubble. That was also done. They increased the by land department fees. They decreased loan to values, which even if you take a decrease of 5% from 80 to 75, decreases your purchasing power by about 20%. You know, it's massive. If you were looking at buying a Maple, and then all of a sudden you've got a million less buying power from 5 to 4. It's dramatic, right? Of what you could, but you go from a 4-bed to a 3-bed and you pull out the market, right? You know, if that happens overnight, and that happened for a lot of people. So I think there was a little bit of management from the government to make sure that
there was enough money in the market.
Yeah, exactly. It was liquid enough. I do think it was a sensible play. I just think that now there's so much money sat in the market in terms of, you know, cash versus
overseas money
debt.
That's come in recently. It's on another level.
Yeah,
there must be record figures right now.
Yeah,
I mean, it came off the back of like the low oil prices, right? So I guess the government was very worried. You know, they just weren't gonna, you know, have the money to run the country. So they didn't want another real estate bubble. So
I refer back to this a lot. In 2007, you could buy off plan through a Sharia compliant mortgage, pay nothing but the initial down payments, whatever your loan to value was agreed. If it was 75% on a million dirhams, you'd have to put the 250 in. The bank would then take over the rest of the loan. People could then walk into Emirates NDB, the day after walk into HSBC. They could then walk into Mashreq, get 3 loans because the central bank didn't have the ability at that point to check them, and go and leverage against all of those. So you think about the level of leverage against a piece of sand, no tangible asset with a developer, no money in escrow, nothing.
I was in an Emirates Hills house and I did that, bought 52 Springs Villas in one afternoon.
Yeah.
250,000 dirhams down for each one. And he was like, that's all I paid, ever. They got finished, I rented them out.
The level of leverage on that, if that goes wrong, and that's just not the case, because it is, and I believe, unless I'm wrong, we talked earlier about the fact that the developers not the developers, as a buyer or a seller, you have to have paid a certain amount.
Yeah,
that's from DLD, right? It's not just because the developers are saying it, it's because there's pressure on
them. I don't know if
the developers have to have, you know, ownership of plot. They have to have a certain amount of money in the bank. The money has to go into the escrow that's linked, not just
the interest of 20%, depending on the developer.
The interest of the developer is you've got to pay 50% on this one, then they're going to launch another one. 100%.
Well, that means they've got the 20% in escrow. They've got the 40% for argument's sake. So they've financed. They've got 60% of the value. The 40% is probably the profit margin. So they know that they're definitely funded to completion, right? Rather than flipping to somebody who eventually cannot make the payment.
So...
Anyway, what about Abu Dhabi? What do you feel?
So we're in a slightly stronger position than Dubai.
Oh, of course you are.
Our increase started later. So you guys kind of...
You are typically
pretty much
6 months behind, though,
went
right?
from 20... I mean, they say that, but you know, they're just they talking out of their hats. So you guys have had 5 years growth pretty much in real estate prices, right? At end of 2020, you know, to now. We probably only really have had since 2023, so we've had maybe 3 years. And some areas only started in the last year and a half. So we're coming from a very low base. So hopefully we've got a bit more headroom. But you know, it's all supply and demand. It's all based on population. We can look at supply. Supply in Abu Dhabi is very low still. I know in Dubai it's higher. But you know, you just can't predict demand. You can't predict, you know, who's coming into the country. A lot of that's based on the economy and the government's ability to stimulate businesses and be business friendly. And you know, in Abu Dhabi, it's much more managed. So, you know,
I would argue that you have a tougher time ahead of you, though, because I don't know the workforce that is ostensibly government employees, right? In Abu Dhabi, it's very high. If you're not in oil and gas or a government employee, you know, you're in the minority.
It's pretty high, yeah.
So what are Abu Dhabi going to do to stimulate foreign investment? I mean, we've got the ADGM, which is helping to a degree, but you guys need to stimulate your population growth a lot to keep up with the supply.
Yeah. Tourism again, though, isn't it? Disneyland, all these things that they've got going on.
Tourism.
Yeah, but that's
what
this place is built on.
A lot of people need to run it.
It's just like, right, come and have a little look. It's like a window shop, isn't it? They come over, they go on holiday, they go to Hajimera Beach, and they go,
I could live here.
I wouldn't mind living
but
here.
But I need a job. But I need a job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's where ATGM comes in, obviously. And
they're not all going to work. They're not all going to work for Disney. They're not all going to work in one of the museums or the art galleries, right? They're not going to work for whoever, ADGM. They've got to have other companies setting themselves up.
You're right. And traditionally, Abu Dhabi, we were hit really hard in 2015 because the government cut back sharply. Etihad lost a lot of jobs. ADNOC lost. But they realised that. And so now they are, trying much more to be more business friendly. Dubai's always been massively business friendly. You get a lot of regional headquarters and stuff like that. So Abu Dhabi's, making that pitch as well. Traditionally, it's been like, well, we don't need to do that because we generate enough money through oil. We don't need business. And now,
what's the cost
there's
of
been
oil
a massive, money? Massive mental shift.
What's the cost of oil?
76, something like that.
Okay. Below 55, right, they're making a loss. That's what I...
They come out with all different kinds of numbers all of them in time about what the break-even point is. And obviously, it's much lower now. Now we've got corporation tax, we've got VAT, we've got, the tax that the tenants pay. So their income base is much broader now. It's not just oil or,
so what
oil
are they
and
doing?
Parking fees.
What are they doing? I mean, what... Okay, here's a separate question then. I have a business. I want to leave France. Why am I going to go to Abu Dhabi over Dubai?
In terms of unless you've got a link up specifically with the government, the market's going to be pretty similar in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. So what they're looking at, we've got a company called ADIO, Abu Dhabi Investment Authority or Office, whose job it is to go and target foreign companies and say, come to Abu Dhabi, we will give you, rent, office space, this, that, and the other. Come and come to Abu Dhabi, and we're building, these data centers and focusing on AI and all that kind of stuff. In terms of why move to Abu Dhabi than Dubai, in terms of like the actual rules, obviously we've got the our version of DIFC, ADGM. It's pretty competitive, but they're pitching quality of life. They're pitching less traffic, lower rents, schooling.
So they're pitching the suburbs as opposed to the capital.
It's an argument though. Yeah. Why pick either? I went for lunch yesterday with Hazer from Beirut, and he said to me, "We were negotiating
a new package." Right?
we were talking about institutional investments and these large capital companies from the US. And he was explaining, he used to live in the US, and he was explaining how 90% of their money is for America, 5% is for South America, and the other 5% for the rest of the world. And I think, why would anybody set up in the UAE at all? Because we're only 10 million population, that's one city in America. Do you know what I mean? And it's not just about America, but in Europe. We're only 10 million. Why are we so special? You've got Saudi down the road. Do you know what I mean? Where there's a massive population. And the argument between, I don't know too much about it, but Saudi were really being really harsh on companies now, saying if you want to operate in our borders, your HQ has to be in our border. Mm-hmm. Never mind Dubai and Abu Dhabi and your lifestyle and this and that. You've got to come to Saudi. So, we do think we're quite special, I think, here. And we are only a small place. Do you know what I mean?
But it's a small market that's easy to monopolise, right? You look at all of these unicorn companies that, Dubizzle started here. And then it generated business around, the MENA region.
Yeah.
But it started here. Not very, very much competition, so it was very easy for them to take over. Same as people like Property Find. Property Find had a free reign with Dubizzle, and then Beirut came in. But it's a very easy place to establish a massive income stream, which you can then broadly go out and start to target the rest of the local market.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's why you would focus. Also, a huge amount of money, right? If you think about per capita, the amount of money that's here, huge amounts of money.
If you almost imagine the GCC as a country rather than individual countries, a bit more like the US, I think anything that Saudi does is only positive for the region. If you look at what it's doing at the moment, it's taking a portion of the talent pool out of Dubai and Abu Dhabi, out of the UAE, moving it over to Saudi, putting it on the what would have been an expat package in probably the early 2000s. And that's an opportunity for somebody else, right? It is an opportunity for other people to come into this market and people move onto other environments. We've seen, the amount of sporting events that are brought to the region, which is, it's only a benefit in terms of, the boxing, the Formula One, all these different, things, football now in Saudi. I think this is all, Ronaldo buying in Dubai, right?
These are all nice to haves. They're not going to prop up a real estate market.
No. I'm not saying the events are going to prop up a real estate market.
You bring a lot
market.
Of exposure. Same as that tourism thing. I think that that dynamic is crazy. Like,
not
just
to be underestimated.
Just build a holiday destination and let people come and have a look, and then they end up moving here. It's wild. Like, forget the oil. It is. The tourism is why people are moving.
That kind of happened with us, didn't it? We came out here on holiday, and then 5 years later, we moved out here.
Long way after, yeah.
Was it a long way?
I didn't even realise we were in Dubai, to be honest, when we were on holiday.
You get an inquiry, don't you? And they
say,
"Where did
you think we were?" Sorry, we were staying in the Burj Al Arab, dude. Where do you think we were?
You were staying in the Burj Al Arab.
I had to drop that in.
Jeez, you're loaded.
Where are we? You went to Cambridge,
I was staying in Barsha.
Sorry.
But how often do you get that inquiry? Gary just landed in Dubai, wouldn't mind having a look at property, and you think, here we go, here's the run around.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the holiday, you know, they get home, they get on a flight home, it's raining, it's cold, and it's like, we're moving. Do you know what I mean? I get that so many times. I've got people now who have all bought properties and they're just waiting to move. Do you know what I mean? It's so clever. Saudi are obviously looking to do the same, aren't they? Just tourist attractions or regulation with laws and things like that, but also with the sports side of things, that attraction is massive.
Saudi's got a long way to go. I know there's a lot of, you know,
have you ever been?
Push on it. Yeah, I've been a few times recently, yeah. It's
kind of know what's going to make Saudi a little bit better, don't we? A little bit easier to deal with. I've never been.
They rally against it. Regardless of how you position it, it is so vast. The city is, the country is huge.
Yeah,
the Red Sea is absolutely stunning on that side. Jeddah, I was there a few months ago. Very different place. It's the capital. They want to push all in there, but it's landlocked. It's not, you know, there's no sort of coastal yacht. You know, you're not going to create what we've got in Dubai. The Red Sea is absolutely incredible. You know, it's the marine life, the beaches.
It's like the Maldives, I've been told.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. The golf courses on the beach, the marinas there are incredible. So I think the challenge Saudi's got ahead of it is they're trying to develop so many different areas. They almost need to, you know, like Abu Dhabi, Ras Al Khaimah, areas like this have just massively fed off what Dubai's done, right? You know, the tourism, the one thing that Dubai has always been incredible at is the marketing campaign. It was the expo. Mm. It was, you know, the golden visa. They're always ready with that next thing. And, you know, touching on what Gary said earlier, I think they will. They'll get ready when they feel certain things within the market, whether it's stress on affordability, whatever it might be here, they will have the next thing ready to be in play.
That marketing thing we said before about Stars being a marketing company that sells houses, this is just a marketing company where you can come and
that
live.
Sells houses.
Yeah. It really is, though. What they do brilliant is the branding, the marketing. Yeah. Like, I think if you look at Sheikh Mohammed's book, when he went over to the UK in the 60s, and he said about how patriotic everybody was, just won a couple of wars, just won the World Cup, the Union Jack was everywhere, the Queen's Head was everywhere, and there was never a Chewy on the streets, do you know what I mean? And he's brought that back here, the flag is everywhere, everyone respects
he's nicked
the
it, it's gone he's out of the UK, it. He's taken it.
Get the exit tax on that. but it's brilliant what they've created, isn't it? Just a big brand.
So we think as long as the population keeps going up, the supply will be sated. There will be enough people to buy up all of the property that's being built.
Yeah, it depends how much the
I mean, they say right, almost every year it's going to be a 90 to 120,000 units handed over, and the real truth of it is really around 30 to 45,000 units that get handed over a year. So as long as the population can grow by that much, everything should be roses.
No black swan event.
No black swan event.
And that's those things are always going to happen. But again, going on to that, what they've done so well is they've taken the best of everything. They've gone to the UK, looked at the culture, the heritage, patriotism and things like that. They've gone to the, you know, US and picked up road networks and how to implement them and bought the best from around the world. A lot to do with our real estate market and operations is coming out of the, you know, Australian market and things like that. And they've just brought everything. And because it's been up to this point so small, they've been able to be so dynamic, so creative, so driven on how it's delivered. And it just makes life easier. I mean, I've taken from coming from Media City now, which is obviously 2 minutes off the Palm, down here in 24 minutes. You know, I've covered half this. If you tried to do that in Manchester,
have you seen what
you
just launched today? $170 billion project road network.
Yeah.
just launched this afternoon.
Thank you, China State Construction. Those little bad boys build bridges and roads like you would never believe.
No tomorrow.
And I say little bad boys, that's not a comment on how big they are. It's just those guys. Gary, you said you were going to say something very controversial at the beginning.
I toned it down. I toned it down.
Just say something really controversial anyway.
No. I said enough controversial
anyway,
stuff
recently. I think we could probably draw a line under that. We've been the Two Fat Brokers. Thank you very much for coming in. I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
Mark from The Network.
Gary from Strada.
Thanks for joining us, boys, and thank you.
Thank you.